You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
It's Monday, which means it's Personal Finance Monday, and today we're taking a look at understanding the liability that comes with being liable for someone else's debt. I'm joined on the line by the operations manager at Just Money, Sarah Nicholson, to take a look at this. Good evening, Sarah. Thanks so much for taking the time. Let's start off with identifying the different ways you can find yourself liable for someone else's debt. I imagine this is not just limited to things like surety agreements.
You could unwittingly find yourself responsible for debt that you haven't directly incurred if you hold things such as a joint account, you co-sign for a loan, or don't understand the implications of your marriage contract. For example, co-signing a loan for a spouse, a family member, or a friend, it can be a very generous gesture, but one needs to understand that it does come with significant risk. You're essentially guaranteeing the loan and agreeing to repaying it if that primary borrower defaults. So one does need to be aware of what you're signing and understand, you know, from a marriage or a spousal situation, what you're getting yourself into.
Sarah, let's look at that marriage one for a second. Being married, or the different types of marriage contracts that are out there, presents a unique blind spot that you might not be aware of. You being married in community of property, for example, could find yourself incurring a debt that you didn't even sign for, as you rightly mentioned, and that's just simply because of the way in which you guys are married.
Definitely. It's something, you know, it can be a touchy subject, but it's really important to understand what you're getting yourself into. And if you are married in community of property, what it actually means is that all your assets and liabilities are combined to form a single joint estate. This means all debts incurred before and during your marriage will actually form part of the joint estate. And then the actions of each spouse can affect the other one. So, for example, if one is declared insolvent, both spouses will automatically be sequestrated. If you're married, however, out of community of property, your estates will remain separate. Any debt accumulated before or during the marriage will remain the responsibility of the spouse who incurred it. And then there's a third contract. If you marry out of community of property with an accrual, debts will be considered on the dissolution of the marriage, either through divorce or death. Debts you incur before you marry will be excluded from the accrual calculation. However, debts reduce the value of the assets which are to be shared in your marriage. And so if your marriage dissolves, even though you would be protected from creditors, the excessive debt, if that is something that happens, could affect your share. So it's important, if you marry without an antenuptial agreement, you will automatically default to being married in community of property. So make sure you're having that conversation with your partner before you get married.
Have the conversation. It makes financial sense. It has nothing to do with whether you love your partner or not. Sarah, let's look at the risks. Now, how do we identify the risks that are associated with co-signing for things, but also how do we manage those risks and what to consider before entering into these agreements, regardless of how much we want to help the loved ones in our lives?
Absolutely. The risk really is that if the primary person who needs to pay the loan back cannot pay it, you have co-signed and therefore you're agreeing to repay it. That means that should something happen and that person is unable or life has happened to them, maybe unexpected retrenchment or illness, it means that ultimately you are going to be dealing with the financial fallout as that co-signatory. It can, one, lead to a big range of emotions, but it can also impact your credit score and your ability to get credit at a later stage. So it's very important to stay aware of that.
Sarah, what happens if you are already in that situation? Let's say you've already incurred this, you've already co-signed for something. What options do you have at your disposal and what should you be considering here?
Absolutely. Let's say you've landed up in the situation, you've taken the precautions and you do find yourself responsible. You need to assess the situation. You need to be aware of what amount is owed, who is owed. You want to be understanding of the payment terms, the interest rates and the deadlines. You also want to communicate with the creditors. And this is something I talk about quite often. But if you do land up in a situation like this, speak to your creditors sooner rather than later. Explain the situation. See if they're willing to work out a repayment plan or negotiate a settlement. Also consider consolidation. If the debt is significant and you're struggling to make those payments, considering consolidation or refinancing the debt could help reduce your monthly repayments just to make it a little bit more manageable as well. And also, we spoke about it earlier, your credit score. You want to protect your credit score because this could impact you getting credit at a later stage. Even if you're originally or not originally responsible for that debt, as we said, it can impact you. So you want to be monitoring your credit report and making sure that payment is made so it doesn't have that impact. If needed, seek advice from a financial advisor or even a debt counselor, just to make sure that you really do need to prioritize your own financial well-being in this at all times, actually. And you want to take steps to protect yourself from any similar situations in future. So if it is a friend or a partner, you need to make sure that you're establishing clear boundaries with the others or with these people regarding financial matters.
Sarah, now that we've gotten the concerning things out of the way, how do we look at these joint liability situations or these co-signing things as an opportunity to potentially identify useful ways or beneficial ways to use this?
Absolutely. The advantage is home loans, potentially. If you and your partner are looking to purchase a home together, by putting your contract in together and co-signing, you could have a more attractive credit score. Your income together would look better for the bank, and you're more likely in some cases to actually get that loan that you're looking for. Again, it's important, as we said, to have the communication with each other, understand what the risk is that you're getting into should one of you not be able to perhaps make your part of the payment or whatever the agreement is, that, you know, if you've co-signed, both of you are going to be responsible should you be unable to make payment for any specific reason.
Remember to approach your debt responsibly. Don't just sign for someone else's debt without knowing what you're getting yourself into. Thank you so much, Sarah. That's Sarah Nicholson, who is Operations Manager at Just Money, joining me for this week's Personal Finance segment.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app, and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.